To Warn Radio. Warn Radio with your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio. I'm Tower and we are glad you joined us. All inquiries and correspondence of the WIBR Warn Radio Network can be sent to us through our contact page on warn-usa.com. Be sure to follow the WIBR Warn Radio on Twitter using hashtag WatchmanIS216 and hashtag Warn Radio. On LinkedIn, use hashtag Watchman. And you can join us on USA.life or MeWe by using hashtag Warn Radio. And Warn Radio is also on two new sites, Parler and Clout Club. And you can listen to our shows on the following carriers: Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes Player, Apple Podcast, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Warn Radio Visions on Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Addict, Castbox, Google Podcast, Anchor, Podchaser, and Deezer. And of course, you can listen to the shows by going to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. And please take time to read the pertinent articles by The Watchman. They're inspired. He spends a lot of time in these, and they're anointed. And they're for this day and age that we're living in. This week, we feature Grace Going Forward From Here. Grace is a tool to access God's mercy, which flows out of His love for us. As we move forward in our lives, His favor or grace keeps us, guides us, empowers us through His Spirit and His Word. And Choice, Chance, and Consequences. Choice, Chance, and Consequences is for all people about decisions. Today in America, as riots, murders, and more rage through many of the largest cities, the ultimate question is this: when will all this stop? That answer could be very telling. And last but not least, America's Prophecy, Harbinger of Portent. America's Prophecy, the first time I mentioned these things coming upon America was in 1973. This has been a long path for me and those who have tread it by my side. And to read those articles and more, you can go to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. And now I invite the Watchman.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn. Greetings. You're listening to The Watchman. I'm Dana Smith. We've been doing broadcasts for a long, long time. That's neither here nor there. But we just didn't start the other day. There's a lot of stuff that's going on that we knew about.
by the grace of God and His revelation. And I believe that the Spirit of God in the hearts of His believers will reveal things to you and help you in these times of trouble. And even as we say that, there's also blessings and many other good fruits that God has given to His people. But first, I've got a few articles I wanted to tell you about. Grace going forward from here, we put out a lot of articles. I've been writing for many years. I've written several books. I'm on another book. But I do write. I write a lot. I research. Used to do a lot of news, but I don't do any news anymore except in confines with what we do now. Grace going forward from here. Boy, I'll tell you, we need this. This is a good article. I wrote this and republished it and featured it. Grace is the tool to access God's mercy. Thank God for that. Check out this article. You will find it on DanaGlennSmith.com. Now, some of these you'll find on Dana Glenn Smith. The others you find on Warren-USA.com. And some you'll find on both sites. Choice, Chance, and Consequences. This is another timely article. It's about decisions, and boy, I'll tell you, today in America, there's a lot of people making foolish decisions. Check this one out. America's prophecy, harbinger, a portent, is unlike any article you'll ever read. And this is an article. Well, I suggest you check it out. That has a lot of prophetic meaning to it. Today we are talking about the secret world, the harbinger of portent. That's about a secret world as well. And although, you know, most of us know overall that there is another dimension, another place. And when we die, we leave this sphere. But when Christ came, He had a secret world to tell the people. This is part of our Secrets of God and Men, Part 8, on Sound the Shofar. Sound the Shofar is one of those broadcasts that focuses on teachings. It also brings us into the weekend, Shabbat, and many other things. And the thing about secrets, when we're dealing with the kingdom of God, if you, for instance, this is secret. This is one of those things that we only know today because Christ told us. In order to live, you got to die, and if you save your life, you're going to lose it. How do you like that? Now, see, in the world, we want to save our lives so we don't lose it. And, of course, there's a lot of stuff to this. We're in Matthew 6, where the Lord is talking about alms and prayer. When we talk about alms, the alms is from a word in the Greek meaning compassionateness, as is exercise towards the poor. And then, of course, there's Now let's look at this here. Then we'll go back to another thing. See, verse 7 of this, I do want to mention this. When you pray, use not vain repetitions. And when we talk about vain repetitions, we're talking about the heathen. That includes a lot of different groups, including those that are religious. We have a lot of religions around the world. But the original word, according to Albert Barnes, is supposed to be derived from the name of a Greek poet who made long and weary verses declaring by many forms and endless repetitions the same sentiment. So when we talk about vain repetition, it means to repent or repeat a thing often, to say the same thing in different words, or to repeat the same words as though God did not hear at first. And I believe that Christians get into this, because we do believe at times, although the kingdom of God is within us, as Christ said, it's kind of hard to believe. How can you get the kingdom of God within us? Well, you have the Spirit of God if you've truly been born again of the Spirit, John 3. You must be born again of the Spirit. You must receive Him, John 1, and He gives you the power to become the sons of God. So Matthew 6, 1 through 8, take heed that you do not your alms, those things you do towards the poor, before men, with the purpose, of course, to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward. In other words, you're standing up there. Now, see, he gives an example here, because not everybody who does something for the poor and is seen by others is doing that to be seen of them. That's the key. See, we have a lot of organizations, Samaritan's Purse, Open Doors, Persecution.com. We have a whole list of them. And they send out letters and they let you know what's going on and they need help so they can get the money to the poor. They want you to know what's going on, and they want you to know that so they can get help to the poor. There's a difference, entire difference here when we talk about in verse 2 when he says, therefore, or because of this, when you do your alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. He's talking about the Jews, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward, because people look at them and say, oh, they're so holy. And this is really common in a lot of areas. And a lot of people really don't know any different when you get into some of the other countries that do this. But when we're dealing with Christians, we should know better. Yes, we can let people know. But when your pride wants you to be noticed of men all the time, just to be noticed, and so you can have glory and, you know, well, look how holy he is. He's so dedicated and he's this and he's that. You've got your glory. There's things that are done in secret that are supposed to be in secret so your Father can reward you. See, that's the secret. Do it. It's between you and the Lord. Or you and your spouse, if you're that close, but don't let it go anywhere else. But when you do alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. In other words, you know, I mean, when we look at this, the left hand, can the left hand know what the right hand's doing? No, your brain does. But if you're walking among people or people that are close, you do things. And even yourself, you do things in secret or when the opportunity arises. And you do this because the next verse says that your alms would be done in secret. See, that's the whole thing. To keep it quiet. To keep it between you and the Lord God. And you're doing this. Like, for instance, if you give money to various organizations, I'm always hearing, and you probably have too, well, such and such gave so many millions of dollars. The other day there was Bezos' ex-wife. Of course, he made so much money, he could give her billions as well. So she's got a ton of money. She gave $46 million to some cause. It wasn't to people that are starving, but I'm sure she does that. I don't know. But you hear this a lot. You know, we always hear from George Soros. He just gave another chunk of money. I think it was $50 million to the Biden campaign. And before that, he gave $50 million to various causes. And this was right in the middle of the riots. He was given money to support those that are trying to overthrow America, because that's what George Soros does. I've written articles on him. I researched him. This guy's, he's a dog. The Jews use the word dog for Gentiles. They called him goy, goyim. George Soros is getting old. He's rich, filthy rich and bored, and he likes to play God. That's his words. Nevertheless, I don't care about George Soros. He's made his bed. He's got his reward. He's played his God. One day he'll meet the Lord, and then it'll be too late. It's too bad. But see, there's a difference that God expects of you. Are you a billionaire? Are you a millionaire? Do you have a great job? You make lots of money. If you do, then God expects more out of you. He's not going to hold you responsible for being in America, even for having money. He will hold you responsible for what you do with what you have and how you live. To say that there are no Christians that are millionaires would be idiotic, because there are. There's a lot of wealthy Christian businessmen in this country. Some of them who have been in the news. Nevertheless, for you and me, normal Joe and Josephine, normal everyday walkabout people, God says, do your good deeds, show your compassion. Your beneficence, beneficial, compassionate, giving people that hope who have no hope. So the Father which sees in secret shall reward you openly. Now see, this really runs into a lot of things, this very thought. Do them in secret. When you pray, don't be as the hypocrites are that love to pray standing in the synagogues and the corners of the streets. This is real popular. The Jews do it. We see them all the time at the Wailing Wall. And that's just their nature. That's what they do. And many of them get up there and they're really, really serious about what they're doing. They will be doing that and they'll be weeping and crying. They're not doing that in pride. They're doing that because they're seeking the Lord, and it's the only way they know how. But Paul assures us that Israel will be saved. God will bring them around. But when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you have shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and the Father which sees you in secret will reward you openly. See, in secret. That's why you need that time alone with the Lord. In secret. Early in the morning is the best. And of course, late at night when it's quiet is a good time to meditate on the Lord. And the early morning visitation and dreams and visions and stuff. 2 to 4. Some people say midnight to 4 in the morning is the spirit hours. But if you get up early in the morning, and I'm an early riser, it's not unusual for me to be up at 3:30 in the morning. I used to do scratch French baking many years ago. And I had to get up and go to work at 3:30 in the morning to get all that stuff ready for when we opened the doors at 7. And scratch French baking is just what it says. It's scratch, folks. So you get used to that. And I had another job in the restaurant. I've done just about everything. Had my own business, catered, been executive chef, pastry chef, trained under a couple chefs. Nevertheless, I had a job and I was working with a 5-star hotel chef. And we were working in a hotel that is known to be haunted. I used to go in there early in the morning because I opened things up, and I also had the charge there to do the desserts and all the stuff because the main chef, the 5-star hotel chef, he knew how to do 5-star food, but he didn't know how to be a pastry chef. He wasn't any good at it. So all them 5-star chefs you see, they're not good at everything, folks. Much of that on television is smoke and mirrors. They get everything prepared outright. They've got sous chefs that help them chop everything, put their mise en place. I mean, I could give you some stories of restaurants and you would stop eating in them. Nevertheless, you see, the whole point is that I used to go in there early in the morning. And as I was going about my rounds early in the morning, getting everything prepared, moving from one part of the kitchen to the other, I went through a door, and suddenly someone was behind me. 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm the only one in the building. I turned around, and all of a sudden I seen the flash of light leave. There was something right behind me. Principalities and powers and spirits are everywhere. And some of them are familiar spirits, more of a friendly one. You don't want anything to do with those. And I've had other encounters that I won't even talk about. And I can tell you what I said when I was told in an audible voice what they wanted to do. I turned around and rebuked them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I commanded them to leave, and I bound them. If you just rebuke them. See, you want that relationship with the Father in secret because that will give you the power and authority, the faith to be able to confront this. You're living in a world, folks, of spirits that hate your guts. You can thank God that the Father sets forth His warrior angels all around you, and you're filled with, you have His Spirit. You're not alone. He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. But the Father says, you seek me in secret, I'll reward you openly. And when you pray, use not vain repetitions. That's where that comes in at. If you're in prayer, don't use vain repetitions. Now, there are times in the church and in your private where you're going to be praising the Lord. You'll sing hallelujah over and over. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about people that have a long list of this particular thing that they have to say, repeating. And there's a lot of them that have this. You have to say a certain thing over and over and over again in order to get the spirits to do something for you. And the numbers are involved and a lot of other things. We get into numerology, you get into all kinds of stuff. But the bottom line of it is that you don't need vain repetitions. Now see, the Catholics pray to a lot of the saints, and I was in another kitchen. I was in charge running it. It was more of a, it was meals on wheels, let's put it that way. It was a compassionate food delivery nonprofit, and I was in charge of getting all the food ready and doing the diets. And one of my main helpers was an ex-Catholic. She had become a Pentecostal Assembly of God girl. And we were chatting in my office because there were certain spiritual issues that we were discussing, even there. And she was going to pray to Mary. And there was other saints. And I said, you know that Christ said you come to the Father in Jesus' name. You don't pray to the spirits. You don't need to. You go directly. And you don't need to pray to Mary. And I've always said, if Mary were here today, she'd tell the Catholics to stop worshiping her. Stop praying to her and pray to the Father in the name of the Son. That's what the Lord said. But nobody in the Catholic Church is really going to listen because there's what, how many billions of Catholics are there? And they all listen to El Papa in Roma. That's up to them. According to your faith, so be it. So you want to go to the Father in secret. You don't need to go through other spirits. You don't need to go through other holy men. You don't need to confess to somebody else. Now there's a suggestion. There's a thing that James, you know, confess your sins to one another. I wouldn't recommend that today. It's one thing to do that in the early church. It's an entirely another thing to do that in America. Especially when we're carnal, secular, rich, selfish, and many other things. And that's in the church. If you have a wife, if you have someone that's close, someone you can trust, or a friend, and you know they're not going to betray your trust and they're serious and they're another Christian, yeah, you can confess your sins one to another. But just to go into a congregation and confess all your sins to a congregation who has adulterers in its midst and the church and the pastor is having a secret homosexual affair, yeah, you don't want to do that. You got to understand where you're at. You're in the lawlessness of the last days. This is the day of the Laodicean church, the Sardis church. Dear God in heaven, you need to be able to go to the Father. Christians around the world, many of them, especially when you get into India and you get into Kenya and you get into Africa in part, like Nigeria especially. If you're in the church is going to be targeted all the time. But many of these have been taught they needed to go to the church to pray and be with the others, and that's fine. But many times they get targeted in that church, and the church gets burned down. There is none, but there's those that don't have a church, so they have to worship under a tree. Even in the book of Acts, we find Paul and his boys going around and finding people alongside the stream and things and talking to them. They're down there praying. We are so spoiled in America. But the Father wants to know you in secret. He wants you to come to Him in the name of His Son. After all, He sent His Son to die for your sins. The least you could do is, get in with the Father in Jesus' name. And Jesus died and gave you rule and power in His name over all principalities and powers. Spirit of depression, spirit of unbelief, spirit of lust, and every other kind of thing. Some of them you have to fast. Some you can rebuke right away. Some are real powerful, and you got to really, really fast. See, there are unclean spirits, there are all kinds of spirits, and then you've got the principalities. Those are the ones you really have to fast and pray. So you pray in secret. You don't use vain repetitions like the heathen do. And we get that way, too, because we think the more we're going to be heard, the more we're going to talk, the more God is going to listen. And then I have those that tell me they talk to God all the time and they have long conversations and God speaks to them. Well, you got to be careful here because familiar spirits are very good about answering and pretending they're God, pretending they're the Spirit. You got to have discernment. And if you meet someone and says every day they got this miracle and the angel of the Lord appears every day, don't believe it. And I've heard the confessions, folks. I've heard them. I know of one woman, author, who swore up and down as a Christian that on every Monday Jesus visited her. No, He didn't. He didn't even visit the apostles every day. Not in a vision. No, this stuff is nonsense, what we believe in this country and we do. Now, you can be led of the Spirit. You've got the power of the Spirit of God in you. Then there's the gifts of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit. But you're warned, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask. Now that's comforting, because He already knows what you need. I'm starving to death, He already knew that. I don't have any money, He already knew that. I'm about to lose my house and my car, my son got in trouble, he's in jail, or whatever you said. He knows that. He also knows that you're praying too much for yourself and not enough for your brethren around the world, for those that are really hurting. See, that's the problem. Now, in Matthew 6:16 through 18, he says, "Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance." Now, see, all of this is in the confines of Yeshua, Jesus, on the streets in Jerusalem. And so they had a thing, they would pray on the corner. Of course, they'd have their tallits on. They'd have all the accoutrements that the Jews would wear when praying. where everybody can see him, and they're there every day. And the public, well, they're the holy men. And this is common around the world, you know, whether you're any number of things going on, any number of religions, any number of faiths, any number of holy men. People have holy men in just about every country. But it's different with our God and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. So just like we've seen the warning when you're praying, now we're on fasting. It's in secret too. You don't want people to know. Now there is a corporate fast, and I've taught on all this fasting. Where as a congregation you're fasting and praying. For instance, praying and fasting for America to return to God, or America, you know, whatever it may be. You're dealing with a principality and a power. There's a whole bunch of you praying, and that's what you need. Because that's where the power and the change comes in. So don't be as the hypocrites of a sad countenance. Poor me, I'm fasting, I'm starving to death for God. You know, don't you appreciate the fact that I'm here starving, I'm fasting, and I do it every week. And I'm holy for it, but it's, oh, dear God, it just terrible. It's just been making me so oppressed. You know, I mean, it's just, my body is just suffering from it, but I'm willing to sacrifice just so I can pray. He says, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. So he says, verily, or truthfully, I say unto you, they have their reward. God knows your heart. But he says, but thou. He's talking to the apostles. He's also talking to the church today. But you as a Christian, he says, when you are fasting, anoint your head. Get your bottle of oil and anoint your head. Wash your face. Now, do you have to pour oil over? No, really, today when we're talking about that, I compare that. Now, you can anoint your head to pray, but you don't need to. And you can, you know, James talks about anointing people when you're praying for them. That's a common practice in the assemblies and other churches that believe in divine healing. When I was a youth pastor, we actually had a woman that come into our congregation that had cancer. And so she came in on a Sunday morning. The reason she came to us is because we believed in divine healing. It was her faith. She believed that if she could find a church that would pray for her, she would be healed. So the pastor, I was up there because I was youth pastor, and we all, and the congregation extended their hands. We prayed for her to be healed, rebuking this thing. She went to the doctor, and we got the report later. I think it was within a couple of weeks or so. And she said the doctors couldn't find any trace of cancer. That's what she said. And, you know, at the time we prayed, we didn't feel anything. You know, usually you feel the power of God. And this, it was just, we prayed and she went and that was it. She was, far as I know, you know, last time I, you know, she was alive. The last time I left her, you know, and she was happy. She wasn't worried like she was, so something happened. I believed her that she got healed. We all believed her because she was so excited. Why would she lie? She wouldn't. So when you're going to fast, you don't want people to know about it. You want to wash your face. You want to comb your hair. You want to look proper like you do every day. Of course, if you look dirty and filthy every day, well, look dirty and filthy every day. Whatever you are, whatever you do, don't let fasting change your looks or anything so people know you're doing that. They shouldn't even know you're fasting. I had a friend that was a Jewish prophet. And one of his practices was, before he went overseas to to minister, he would fast and pray for an extended period of time. And sometimes this fast extended into his visitation when he was overseas. One day, he had finished the fasting and prayer, and he had asked the congregation to fast with him. And as he went over there, the Lord told him that his congregation did not fast as they should have, and therefore he needed to fast in order to break the yoke that he was going into. So he started fasting again. When you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so you do not appear unto men to fast, but unto your Father which is in secret, and your Father which is in secret rewards you openly. Now see, verse 6 of the previous section, that's Matthew 6:6, Matthew 6:18, both say, do these things in secret, and the Father which sees you in secret shall reward you openly. And I remember him telling me that when he was there and he was doing all this, that the people he was visiting wanted to feed him. And he says, I can't eat. Well, why can't you eat? I can't tell you. I'm not going to talk anymore. And well, we want to know. And he says, well, if I eat with you, it will ruin my reward, because the Father will reward you openly. See, he wants to see the power of God move. And that's what he did. He was Jewish. He was a prophet. And he had a lot of appearances. I didn't agree with him on everything. I mean, he even talks about the Jews. He says, when you go to convert a Jew, you better take a sack lunch and a lot of water and be prepared to stay a long time. And he says, and if you can get a word in edgewise, you might be able to talk to him. But he says, God will save him. In the Father's time, he will take care of it. And of course, he went over there too. So God does move in his way. This is his program, not yours. And see, that's what we do. We are not the Father. And we're not fully made perfect yet. God sees us that way, but he knows. And he continues to work in our hearts to bring us to that point where we need to be. In Luke 8, 16 through 18, he says, no man, when he has lighted a candle, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a candlestick, that they which enter may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither is anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how you hear, for whosoever has, to him shall be given, and whosoever has not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Now, we are the salt of the earth, and we're the light. We are the ambassadors in Christ. And we should have a light in this wicked world. It should shine out from us. And that doesn't entail just being nice as pie to change who you are. But it means to be sincere in your belief and to bring that which Christ has put in us, to share it and give it to others. Now, of course, we live in America, which has had a plethora of Christianity and the preaching of Jesus and everything else. There's probably very few people, if any, in this country that has never heard, that would have never heard the name of Jesus Christ or Christianity or even know what a Christian church is. Our history is built upon it. We've had massive revivals, but we have lost generations of youth because the churches have been lukewarm. And they have not been preaching the gospel. And that's where we have lost these generations. And see, we live also where we talk about protecting the privacy of people. We live in a time that we demand our information be ours, especially on social media. But yet we live in a time where we're always finding people revealing things about somebody else. We have people that plot in secret, and we'll get to that in a while. See, when we talk about the secrets of God, there's also the secrets of men. And that's what this is, the secrets of God and men. And like all of these Antifa and BLM riots, they're not about George Floyd. It's not about Black Lives Matter. It's about destroying America. That's what it's about. And not all those on the street are attuned to that agenda. Because these people do this in secret. They conspire in secret. But you see, nothing is secret before God. He knows everything. And everything is going to be made plain or manifest. Nothing's going to be hid. And anything that is currently hid is going to be known. And it will be spread. Everyone will know it. And so that's another thing when we talk about the secrets of God. No secret is secret. For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, including sins. Nothing. Nothing will escape the eye of Almighty God in Christ. So the warning here within the context of the verse is, take heed, therefore, how you hear. Are you going to hear according to a heart that wants to know the truth? Are you going to hear in order to find fault? Are you going to hear with a judgment of jealousy and contention? Are you going to hear with a spirit of meekness and reception? He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Not everybody has ears to hear. They all have ears, and they all hear stuff, but they don't really hear it. And this is best illustrated, especially if you're a parent, when you tell your kids something. Johnny, don't do that. He keeps doing it. Johnny, don't do that. It's as if he didn't hear you. So you say, Johnny, I told you to stop. He still doesn't hear. And finally, you scream out loud. And then he turns around and says, oh, okay. The Lord told the apostles when they asked him, or they were disciples at this point, why do you speak to them in parables? He says, because it is given for you to know the secrets, but not them. Therefore, I speak to them in parables. See, there are people that don't want to hear. You know, when the Lord was resurrected from the dead, he didn't appear to the chief priest. Not at all. He could have. He appeared to those who believed on him and loved him, and he knew their hearts. That's why when we talk about the coming of the Lord, he will appear to those who love him. Now, when he comes again, now, see, we got a couple of things here. When he comes to receive us, and he will. And then there is when he is revealed from heaven. And he's going to make war with the dragon. Then they will all see him. And he will come in judgment on a horse with a sword out of his mouth and the armies of heaven. Take heed how you hear. And I can tell you from writing articles, taking care of websites, and doing all that we do, well over two decades. And even before that, going back to 1973 when I first talked about what was coming to America. Tower and I both have understood how people can be both good and bad. And it's important to take heed how you hear. Because we've seen it over the long length of time. You can have people within a church that absolutely love what you tell them, what you preach to them. And then you can have others that are absolutely full of hate and vitriol within the church because they despise everything you said. Early one Sunday morning, while going up, I had to go up some stairs to get to the main sanctuary where all the people were. I was going up where the pastor was. I was youth pastor. And I was met on the steps on Sunday morning by a couple of the deacons, a couple of the board members, who hated my guts because they didn't like what I preached. Take your bag of ideas and get out of our church, they said. We'll throw you out of here. Well, they managed to get it done because they convinced the rest of the board and the pastor. And one of them on the board was one of my friends. I said, "Did you vote along with him?" And he came to apologize. And I said, "And talk to me, because we were leaving." Of course, when they do that, they don't care that you have a job. They don't care that you moved down and you got a house, you have a family. They don't care that you're nearing the holidays. You're gone, baby. The districts, they didn't care. They just didn't want you to cause a split in their church. But see, the people, I had friends there. They loved us. They loved what we were doing in the youth. But we went. We got over it. But I learned a lesson that day. And it's something most people don't ever have a chance to learn. And if you think those churches that are full of all them people is going to be guaranteed a spot in heaven, you're wrong. Because there's devils in the pulpit, and there's witches in the congregation, and there's uncleanness. But there is going to be a gathering when Christ brings his bride at the wedding supper of the Lamb. And there will be no unclean thing there. And that is the souls of men who are unclean, who think they're Christians and they're not. So when I tell you, you need to repent, you need to get close to him and know the Father and the Son and walk in his ways, I mean what I say. You're not perfect, but you're forgiven. 1 John 1 is a good example. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And he goes on to say, but if we sin, you have an advocate with the Father. And he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins if we confess it. I mean, you can read it in 1 John 1. It's important to know who you are today and understand there is a warfare, there are things in secrets, and there are truths that God has given. And to take a totally pagan person and give them a Bible, depending on their heart. This is why we find Muslims by the bucket load and more. I mean, lots of them, including Hindus and others. The enemies of God, we find, coming to the Lord. Many times, the Christians in the area have nothing to do with it, except that the Lord, when he appears to them and he talks to them, he says, go see my servant, and they'll tell you what you need to know. And they show up there. The Christians open the door, and there's the enemy there, the one that beat him up, or the one that tried to do something to him. The reports have been coming in for a long time. They're coming in from everywhere. And we're not the only ones that are telling it. I'm telling you, America and the American church and those of you in also Western nations, it is time to wake up. You want to know the secrets of God that nobody knows? Forget the secrets of God that nobody knows. Get into the secrets of God that's revealed into the Word of God that are practices that tell you what you need to do like we've discussed today. These are the practices that's going to save your life, going to protect you and your family, going to keep you in that close confines with the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for your word and for those who hear. Lord, bless them. Give them understanding in this word. Lord, draw them to yourself. Protect them and their families from this corruption and evil. Help them to raise their children for you and help them to walk in the light as you are the light. In Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word. Father, comfort those who need comforted right now in Jesus' name. Don't forget to go to our websites, warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. We are on a lot of social sites, and if you listen to the programs at the beginning, we tell you what those are. You can find us. We're all over the web. And if you do Google Warren Radio, we have been on the front page of Google. Search. So until next time, we are going to be going and going to be gone for a week or so, but we'll be back. Shalom, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this episode of
The Warren Radio.